Education. Mrs. Reddock, you have the floor, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Head of Delegation, thanks so much for your open engagement and that of your team with the committee. We encourage your efforts in the face of this resurgence of conflict. However, already at the end of July 2009, 2 million plus persons in Eastern DRC were displaced. It is now more than double that number. Between January 2022 and March 2023, at least 2,100 schools in North Kivu and Ituri provinces stopped operating because of the deteriorating security situation. This forced thousands of families to search for safety, leaving school and education behind, some missing final examinations, all ending up in large overcrowded camps. We understand that educational activities are extremely difficult during the ongoing conflict situation, but I would still like to know, is there in existence an education policy for displaced persons, including women and girls, some who are in or out of the IDPs since 2009? Is education considered part of the group of services, livelihoods, or rehabilitation, or collective and individual reparations that are provided to survivors of conflict-related sexual violence? And if not, can this be considered in future national plans? In relation to efforts at recovery and rehabilitation, what are the education-related plans for all levels of the system in the post-conflict period? Will they include special accommodations for women and girls with disabilities, for mothers who need childcare needs or transportation, etc.? In light of early childbearing resulted from conflict-related sexual violence, for example, rape, forced pregnancy, and child prostitution, are there mechanisms to ensure that these women, girls, and their children exercise their right to education? Are school-age pregnant girls and early mothers normally able to attend schools and access education? I was happy to learn of the state party's approach on positive masculinity. Males, although a minority of victims, are the main perpetrators. It is well established that militarized conflict and uniforms exacerbate hypermasculine behavior, of which conflict-related sexual violence is an example. Young males without education are easy targets for recruitment into armed groups. It gives them status, power, and unfortunately a sense of manhood, and this is a danger to women and girls and also the wider society. So please advise whether gender-responsive education, including structured programs on masculinity and femininity, exists within the school and university systems and in the armed forces, police, and state systems. Thank you.